Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 1st. I'm Ray Graff. Our favorite bird experts are back. Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart are here to share their birding knowledge with you. If you have a question about our winged friends, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Now remember, we missed the show last month because of the fun drive. So we'll have a lot of calls today. Get in early, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. It's Birds, it's Rich Guthrie, it's Julie Hart, and you will be back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing birds today. And when we do that, we welcome our favorite avian experts, Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Rich is retired from the New York DEC. He's now the regional reviewer for the premier birding site, eBird. Also, Julie Hart. Julie is the project coordinator of the New York Breeding Bird Atlas. She coordinates with thousands of volunteers to document bird breeding behaviors. She has a focus on bird conservation and citizen science. So if you're a citizen, call up with some science questions. The number is 800-348-2551. It's been a while since we've done a birding show. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. A number of people have done that already. But the number again is 800-348-2551. Julie Hart, how are you doing in this warm and muggy summer?
I'm doing okay. Good. I am enjoying right now. It's like peak baby bird season. And so there are lots of birds bringing in their babies to their to the feeders and stuff. So I always enjoy that. So
have you seen anything exciting and rare over by the house?
Rare, not really rare, no.
Nothing's rare to you. You're an expert, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of orioles that are still coming into our feeders this year. We don't normally have them sticking out through the summer. Usually they just come in the spring and eat a lot of fruit, and then they just hide for the rest of the summer. But this year, they're still coming in, and they're getting used to all the other more aggressive birds. And so that's kind of fun.
You know, I'm sorry, but whenever I think oriole, I think robin. But they don't look the same, right?
No. They're a little smaller, slimmer. They're like a bright, like neon orange color with black wings and black on the tail and on the head. So they're very bright. You would, if you saw one, you would be like, whoa.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I guess I haven't seen one.
Yeah.
Or at least around my house. Rich Guthrie, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Doing great. Thank you, Ray.
Excellent. Anything going on?
Yeah, lots. Lots. As Julie says, things are happening out there. A whole new generation of songbirds and others are popping up. And I don't quite have the luck that Julie has at my feeders. The orioles down our way, we call them New Baltimore Orioles. And they kind of came and went. They didn't stick around. I put the oranges out. I put the grape jelly out there for them. And they kind of like, it just sat there and sat there and sat there. So I don't have smart orioles like you do.
Well, this is the first year. Like I said, usually it's like the catbirds come throughout the summer. But this year we've got catbirds and orioles and also the young starlings like the grape jelly as well.
I would pull the jelly if they were there.
It's so funny you bring up catbirds.
Yeah.
Because they're my new favorite birds.
Oh, they're awesome.
I love catbirds. And now suddenly they're all over my backyard.
Yeah. They love residential neighborhoods, all the shrubs and stuff near people's houses.
They like
houses.
You, right?
Well, I think they've probably been around, but these, are they very territorial?
They can be aggressive.
They are. They don't like others intruding. But I don't you may have one very large, unusual family there, extended family. The younger last year may have come back and have joined the crowd. But
they have kind of smaller territories, too, so you may have multiple pairs in your neighborhood.
Well, it seems like they have pushed out the little wrens or whatever they are that annoy the daylights out of me. They make so much noise. They're in the bushes. They're more scarce. And these catbirds have sort of taken over our backyard. Mm-hmm. And I love these guys. They're very gregarious. They'll walk right mm-hmm. on the patio out in front of us, just walk around and hang out.
The catbirds in my yard have taken to coming up with the titmice and chickadees to taking peanuts for me.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've gotten... I just sit on my porch with my coffee in the morning, just watching life happen out there. And they come in, not quite to my fingertips, but onto my hand. But I'll put the peanut out there, and they'll hop right along the railing and take it. And the cardinals and the downy woodpeckers and nuthatches and all sorts of... Even the rose-breasted grosbeak was coming in, both male and female.
Well, you guys were talking about oranges and the Orioles, and this is a great email from Cindy and Vic in West Springfield, Massachusetts. They write, I put out oranges in late May, hoping to attract Orioles again, but none showed up. Soon, a red-bellied woodpecker showed up and was eating the oranges up like the photos I attached. And I'll show you, Rich. It's something. In fact, I put it on the page for today's show.
Hey.
Cindy and Vic let me put one up. And they say he's still showing up every day. We replace the oranges nearly every day because they're completely eaten. Is this normal for the woodpecker? We've loved watching him. Thanks for the bird show. Look at this. Look at that pic.
Yeah, I looked at it earlier and... I have not seen red bellies at oranges before.
Nor have I.
No.
But red belly woodpeckers are kind of like, they're not
omnivores.
Dumb. They know a good thing when they see it. And boo on the Orioles for turning it down. But I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
The red belly woodpecker in my place is a regular at the suet feeder. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're one of the newcomers to the neighborhood. 10 years, 15 years. There is zero to be found. And they moved in and they said, we're here. Hello.
Well, I love that picture a lot. And so if you want to check it out, go to WAMC.org and look at our Vox Pop page for today.
And, I will add, too, that I mean, I have seen them in my yard. We have a mulberry tree. And right now, the fruits are not ripe. They're still green. But everyone is going, like the squirrels, the chipmunks, all the birds, including the woodpeckers, go in and they eat all of these, the berries. So some of them do eat fruit regularly, but I just haven't seen them like at a feeder eating citrus.
That is so cool. This is from Dawn. A pair of house wrens constructed a nest in our birdhouse a few weeks ago. I've been monitoring to see the hatch and feeding of youngsters. The other day, I watched for some time while only one bird made many trips out of the house with feathers and some nest debris, mouthfuls of feathers, some one at a time, but a lot of house cleaning, I guess. The feathers appear to be large enough to not belong to fledglings. I don't know. Did the female die? Did the babies die? Never saw anything like it. He was fastidious about removal of strands of hair and small bits of stuff. I thought he was advertising for a new mate over the last few days. And today I see very aggressive behavior against another wren, whom I assume is trying to inhabit and build in the house. I don't know if there's any way to distinguish between male and female other than the male sings a lot. And that's from Dawn. She would love your thoughts.
Well, yes. The house wrens are rather energetic when it comes to nest building and repeated nest building. And once again, let's build another nest. But I have probably bad feelings about what was going on in that nest. It's usually moving the furniture and things in, not out. Mm-hmm. So I suspect they may be wondering if there's any way you can open that nest and have a look inside, maybe through the top or a side latch or something.
Do some forensic examination.
Yeah, exactly. And if necessary, clean it out. But And then the aggressive behavior, that would be towards another potential rival male.
Okay.
I mean, if it were a female, unless the female is still in the nest and she's busy incubating and he's just protecting her from some other. Wrens don't get along well together.
Yeah.
Or with other birds.
Yes.
No.
They are known to go into other nests and kill the young and destroy the eggs so that they can take over the nest site.
Believe me,
so,
I've seen that. We have beautiful Phoebes under our overhang, and these wrens came in, and there was a huge, I told you about this, it was a huge battle, and a cardinal and a blue jay were sitting on a tree watching this happen like they were spectators, and I'm not a real fan of the wrens, got to be honest with you.
Mm.
I like the catbirds better. this is from Chris in Athol, Mass. I recently learned about a maneuver that geese sometimes use when they're coming in for a landing, wherein they completely invert their bodies, which acts to slow them down. My question is, how frequent is this? Is it something I should look for when seeding geese come in for a landing to water, or is it rare to see?
No, absolutely. That's one of the fun things of watching a skein of geese coming into a small pond, especially one where they have to drop straight down into. And you catch that. They'll fold their wings back and just kind of like collapse into the water. And at the last minute, they'll spread their wings and, you know, parachute in softly. But on the way down, it's kind of a fun thing to be there to watch.
Yeah, they're always controlled crash landing.
You know, yeah. If they don't open their wings, they hit the water pretty hard, though.
Yeah,
right?
They won't do that.
How do they gauge? I mean, is their eyesight that good?
It sure is.
Yeah, this is from Ann and Adams. Last week, four wonderful little wrens. Oh, okay.
Here we go. Ann,
she likes the wrens. No offense, Ann. I think they were Carolina wrens, says Ann.
Oh, more better.
They fledged. Here's the shocker for me. The nest was not even a foot off the ground in a pretty dense round arborvitae. When I sat outside, the parent birds didn't seem the least bit bothered by me, and I spent a lot of time worrying cats would get the babies. Is this a normal thing for them to nest so close to the ground?
Yeah, the Carolina wrens will nest anywhere imaginable, basically.
Yeah,
in places where they shouldn't nest,
yes.
But they do.
Yep.
Well, and adds, in the end, I didn't have to worry as all fledged beautifully, and the world is much better off now.
A nice happy ending.
There you go. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll get back to it. We have a lot of emails and a lot of calls. It's Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Birds today, 800-348-2551. Vox Pop on WAMC. There's Russell Malone, the late, great Russell Malone, in Invisible Colors here. Ray Graff with you. It's Birds Today. Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart join us. 800-348-2551. Before we hit the phones, Rich, I know you have a short list of big events coming up.
Well, not necessarily events, because everything is kind of like summered out. But
what do you mean summered out?
Yeah, the hot heat summer. The field trips are pretty much on hold until the fall. And but things are happening. We're already starting to see fall migration underway. And now's the time to watch for things like sandpipers and plovers and various species of gull, especially the ringbill gull, which will be nesting up on Lake Champlain. Mm. And these would be the adult birds that either have not nested or have finished nesting, leaving the kids behind, and they're off to the Caribbean for the winter. And so, and this is where the real rare birds tend to show up. The sandpipers from Siberia that made a wrong turn and start showing up. And the thing about that is these are the adults more easily recognized rather than the juveniles later on in the year that might hide in another flock of juvenile birds. Mm-hmm. So, and the other things is that we got an influx of pelicans around the state.
What?
So, yes, if you're near water and happen to be looking up in the sky and happen to see an inner tube flying by, look out, might be a pelican.
What do you mean an inner tube?
Well, they have that fat belly round look that looked like a flying inner tube.
I've never seen a pelican.
Oh, yeah, they have huge bellies. But they are very white with black wingtips.
And where do they go and where are they coming from?
Well, they're coming from the south. But you see, this is one of these, like with the red-bellied woodpecker and some of the other birds that are inching their way forward northward. Yeah. The roseate spoonbill is another one like that, and two of the kite species, a swallowtail kite and a Mississippi kite. There's a parade of these southern birds that are continuing this movement northward.
Wow.
And the brown pelican is in there amongst them.
Okay.
And the occasional white pelican, which is even larger and actually more spectacular looking, is also wandering around and showing up in places around New York State and Vermont and the Connecticut Valley. So eyes out, watch for these guys.
E-bird them in. Julie.
I'll just mention, too, that in 2 weeks, I'll be speaking about citizen science.
Cool.
At the Hike Preserve in Rensselaerville. So if anyone's interested, they're doing a science symposium on citizen science this
year. How do
people
find out about it?
You'd go to the Hike Preserve website.
So it's H-U-Y-C-K, maybe?
Yes, yes, okay. You got it.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's cool. Do people recognize you from the show when you do these things?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, when I'm out birding,
and
running into people.
Do you say, you know, get away, you're bothering me.
No,
you
know? No. I always say, oh, it's great. I'm glad you listen and enjoy the show.
Excellent. Well, let's grab a few calls here. 800-348-2551. Let's start in New Lebanon. And Lynn, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I have a little porch overhang, and a bird has made a nest in the corner. And every year when we come back for the summer, the bird is there. One year we got rid of the nest. We did some power washing, and the following year she built it again and came back.
Mm.
So I want to know, is it the same bird?
Good question.
It likely is, and also it could be one of the offspring from that nest. Birds have a strong propensity to return to where they were from, and so either you got the family tree there someplace, and one of the twigs or leaves are coming back.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, well, it's fun to see you every.
Do you know
fun.
What it is?
I is don't. See, I can send you a picture of her head. She's. We think a bluebird, but we really don't know.
Bluebird?
Not
likely.
That
would
likely.
Be unusual. Yeah. They nest in cavities. No.
But it makes me think maybe a robin, which is related to the bluebird. And So we'll see. Okay. See what you got.
Well, that's very cool.
Send
Lynn, enjoy that. Send a photo to voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll have these two take a look. Appreciate it. Let's go to George in Chicopee. George, you're on.
Good afternoon. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have starlings, and I think they're both the male and female, and they travel in a group. And while they're not bothering the robins or the cardinals or the blue jays, I'm just concerned that they're going to, you know, run all the other birds out. And I'm wondering what you would suggest to do to get rid of them. I've stopped putting out mealworms, and I've changed mealworms for the blue jays into whole peanuts, which I heard they don't like. But do you have any suggestions? Oh, I put out fake plastic snakes, which were of no help.
Nice. Yeah. That never works.
Yeah, they're too smart.
Yeah. What do you think, Julie?
Yeah, starlings can be really difficult to discourage, you know, so one way to do it is to just take all your feeders down for a little bit and hopefully they just go somewhere else. Another idea, I don't know if you put suet out, but they love suet. But you can get, like a clean suet that doesn't have like a just pure suet. Blocks, and they don't have any seeds in them, and the starlings don't like those as much. But other than that, it's really, yeah. I mean,
you can get a real snake, a python, or something, right?
Yeah.
Take care of the situation.
You have the hummingbird feeder. You can have the Niger feeder for the goldfinches and stuff like that too.
I'm sure that will help because we also have a hawk that will tend to go after mourning doves, and mm-hmm. we'll do that maybe once a couple of weeks. So we have been reducing it, and I think that may help a lot.
Well, I've found that starlings are very skittish. And when I go out, I just kind of like raise my arms over my head, and they're gone. The jays and doves don't seem to care about
me. Window. Yep.
I hiss at them.
We just open the window, and they split.
Yeah.
You hiss at them?
I hiss at them. I go...
Really?
Like a cat. Like,
boy, I tell you what.
And they hate that.
What do the neighbors think?
Yeah.
They run too.
Hey, George,
and our local birds, like the chickadees and the titmice and the catbirds and the woodpeckers, they know who I am. They recognize me. And so they're like, yes, the starlings are gone. And they all whoosh in as soon as I screech.
Now
and they're just like so happy.
The catbirds are part of the mockingbird family, right?
Yes, correct.
Will they imitate?
Yeah.
Various things?
They do a lousy job at it, though.
Really?
Yeah, you never recognize what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Rarely, yeah. They're not as good as, like, the thrasher and the mockingbird, but yeah.
Now let's go to Sarah in Fultonville. Hello, Sarah, you're on.
Thank you. I have a question about bird mites and what might have killed four little baby phoebes who are so close to fledging. They came, we found two of them on the ground, and so I got a tall ladder and went up, and there were two more dead ones in the nest. And, of course, my hands were immediately covered with bird mites. Ouch. Or if it was something else, like an aggressive bird. They all looked, to me, mostly, I don't know, health-wise.
Tough question. Yeah, I don't know that I could give you a definitive answer on that, but how were the parent birds? Were they still there and active and healthy looking?
No, I saw the babies with their beaks across, you know, up out of the nest the night before. And by the time I saw them the next afternoon, they were gone.
I hear you, yeah. I don't have a good solid answer to give you. If the parent birds are gone, maybe there's, you know, I don't think it would be something that comes to mind, like avian flu or something like that. But they may have been a victim of predation, and the kids may have just not had any sufficient food to make it.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Lynn, who we spoke to, had the bird, thought it might have been a robin, sent a picture, and it's quite an impressive nest under that overhang.
It is a great nest.
What do you think? We can't see much of the bird.
No, that's a robin.
It's a robin?
A robin in there.
Okay.
Even though there's very little, there's only a tip of the tail and a top of the head that's showing there, but the nest itself is a giveaway. They build that solid adobe wall nest.
Looks really nice. Yes. Nice work. All right, to Plainview, Massachusetts. Julia, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about the mosquito removal service that so many people get in their yards.
Ugh.
And I'm just wondering if there's any studies or information about what that, how that may relate to a reduction in birds in the area.
Absolutely.
That's one of the
major thought process out there that is attributing to the loss of our songbirds is lawn care pesticides. There's no food, no birds, and as Rachel Carson pointed out years ago, those chemicals ain't got to be good for birds either. So I think you're on the right track there. I wish we could have a more enlightened lawn maintenance system out there, but you know they're pretty persistent salespeople, and they're good at selling their goods.
Mm-hmm. That's very sad. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. It's Birds Today with Julie Hart and Rich Guthrie. Let's go to Housatonic. And Chris, you're on.
Yeah, I was wondering something, Julie. Can pelicans and eagles fly northwards?
Can pelicans and eagles fly northward?
All points of the compass are fair game.
Yep. Yep, they'll go wherever they feel like they need to go to find food or nest or whatnot.
Okay.
There you go.
Anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it.
All right, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Birds Today, and let's go to a couple of Jones. We'll start in Schenectady. Joan in Schenectady, hello.
Hello, Ray. Great to hear your voice. And Ray, I also am on Team Catbird.
I love them. And I think they're so cool.
Yeah. They're handsome. And I loved listening to the attempted fight between a mockingbird and a catbird. It is no contest.
Right. Interesting.
I grade them. I'm like, oh, that was close. I'll give you a B. Now, unfortunately, I think my next question may involve wrens. Sorry, Ray.
That's okay.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And hi, Rich.
Hi.
On a walk last week, I saw the very prettiest tiny little bird. Start with a sparrow, make it a little bit smaller, slimmer, make the tail longer and not quite as flared. It attracted me because I thought it might be a titmouse. I heard a tick, tick, tick. And then all of a sudden I heard a whistle, like that. They were just very pretty. A reddish cap, like a russet red cap right on the top of the head, and noticeable white stripes along the cheek and eye Carolina. Line. Just a, yep. Yeah. A Carolina?
Oh, that's my guess.
That's what we're thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in on that. I was just kind of signaling over to Julie, the two of us here. We kind of some
agreed on
studio
that.
Talk here.
That's cool.
Good. They were just charming, so pretty. I'm not sure I've seen a bird that made me just stop in the middle of a street and stare. But they were great. Thanks, Carolina Wren. Awesome.
And one of my favorites. Good. I mean, the thing about Carolina Wrens, another newcomer from the South. But they sing all the time, all day long, and they're one of my favorite at the fingertip morning chair birds.
Mm.
And the thing about them too is that they sing well into the winter, early in the spring. Mm-hmm. So, a welcome sign and sound.
Mm-hmm. All right, hey Joan, thank you. Have a good one. Appreciate the call. What does a Carolina Wren sound like?
Teakettle, 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 tee.
Oh, yeah, we have those.
Yes, and on and on and on. And then they have a, like, rubbing the teeth of a comb. Brrr,
yeah.
Brrr. Well, not as musical as that. It's kind of more raspy.
And there is an app that if you hold it up,
let me tell you, Merlin.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, my gosh, really. Everybody should have it. And the thing about Merlin is it's kind of, you know, it used to me, it kind of evens the playing field all the way across.
What do you mean?
Back in the day, you know, it was kind of the magic was on me. I knew the bird songs, I knew the bird sounds, and I'd be able to walk through the woods and hear the sounds and recognize them, most of them. And the ones I didn't know, I'd go track down. Now, people are walking through the woods, not looking up, but looking down. Looking down at their iPhone to see what is singing up in the treetops.
Oh, doesn't that make you feel diminished now?
Yes, indeed.
Knows
it took
as much
the wind.
You?
Took the wind out of my sails.
I'm so rich. I'm sorry. Let's go to another Joan because you can never have enough Joans. Joan in Scotia, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I live right near the Mohawk River, and it just seems to me and my neighbors that this year, we're seeing way fewer waterfowl than we normally see by this time of year. And I was wondering if there was anything that your guests could help me out with there. And I can hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay. Julie, you go first.
Yeah, I have not heard of any major issues with the waterfowl this year. I mean, it is right now the breeding season, and so a lot of our waterfowl breed further north and on, like, lakes and ponds rather than on the rivers. So that may be part of it. But I don't know. Rich, have you heard anything?
Not at all. There has been a long-term decline in waterfowl species variety in our area and numbers. And I can remember back in the day, you'd see 2,000 canvas backs going by, in, you know, just standing there watching them going over.
Yeah.
Now
here?
You're lucky to see 10.
In
the Hudson River.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Rich is much, much older than you are.
Yeah, right. This is going back in the days of Audubon. You know,
speaking, you know, you're talking about it's breeding season.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought this up at the fun drive, but we didn't have a birding show. So my wife and I are sitting on the patio in the back of the house, and I got to tell you, I don't know if it's rare to see, but we saw a couple of birds going at it. And I got to say, it was one
happy
of the—
Happy go or not happy go?
What do you mean?
Were they happy, funly?
No, we're not fighting. Let's put
it
that way.
Oh, okay. These were happy birds.
The little had the bird Barry White music going, if you know what I mean. It's a really weird little setup they have there.
It's a balancing act for the male. So it's always the male on top.
Yeah.
And they have, a lot of times they'll stand on the female's back. And then they have cloaca, and those cloaca have to touch, so they have to do all this maneuvering with their tails.
Yes.
And I forget what kind of bird it was, little wren or something.
It's probably not important at this
point. It was on
an
evergreen. Yeah. Well, finally, we got tired of it. It went on and on and on. But
a little unusual.
It was very quick, and then the male bird went a few inches away on another branch, stood there, and then went back. And it happened over, and finally my wife, I said, all right, I've had enough. I'm going in. I mean, that was
give them some privacy.
Yeah, it was crazy. All right, let's go to Roger in Albany. Roger, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I recently got a bird camera, and we have put some food over there, and we expect to see many birds. I see only one type of bird, the northern cardinal, and we see squirrels as well. My question is the northern cardinal like a bully type of bird that don't let any other birds come?
Cardinals are bullies, aren't they?
See other birds around, but not at the... Oi?
Interesting.
Well, I like to think of them as more as a sort of... and smart. I'm going to guess that your camera is set up right next to a feeding tray, and the cardinals found the food.
Correct.
And they're kind of like going to, I found food. Hello.
Yeah, so what can you do about that? Just
I'm
move the camera?
I'm surprised there's not more species, though. If there's a good food source, there should be some other stuff.
They'll come in
there.
Yeah, I think the cardinal, though, not so much aggressive, but assertive, I think, and also opportunistic. The other birds, I don't know the backyard setting out there, but the sparrows will find it. And with luck, you know, I've seen some very unusual birds show up at those feeder cameras. And, so keep an eye out.
Okay, Roger. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll do so.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Birds today. Rich Guthrie on Julie Hart. We'll check the email bag in a minute. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff here. It's Birds Today with Julie Hart and Rich Guthrie. The phone number, once again, is 800-348-2551, and our email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab a few emails here. This one's from Mike in Richmond. Can you explain the behavior I see frequently of a smaller bird chasing after a larger bird that looks like a crow or other large dark bird? The smaller bird will dive bomb the larger bird and drive it away from the area. This could take place at pretty high altitude sometimes. What the heck's going on? And that's from Mike in Richmond.
Well, it's nature's reverse pecking order. The small bird has a nest in the area. The large bird may or may not be a threat, but the small bird's not taking any chances. And so they get up there and they annoy the heck out of the larger bird until they leave. And it's true. It goes right up the food chain. From the hummingbird will chase away the sparrow, the robin, the blackbird, the crow, the hawk, the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll see like tiny birds going after huge birds, and they'll actually like hit the birds and take feathers and stuff. Like it's pretty impressive.
I saw that on the roof of the station. I was out taking the air last week, and a crow. I think it was a crow going after a hawk.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Absolutely.
And it pretty much hit him. I mean, it was pretty impressive.
The kingbird. I actually saw a kingbird. Their scientific name is Tyrannus tyrannus, a tyrant kingbird.
Nice.
And they actually will land on the back of a hawk. I mean, wheels down and start pecking at the back of the neck.
You know, Roger was asking about whether cardinals are dominant when he was talking about his camera.
Uh-huh.
In the backyard bird world around these parts, who's like the tough guy?
King
Blue
of
Jay?
The hill? Blue Jay.
Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And then starlings and grackles.
And you know what's funny about blue jays? They act like the boss, the tough guy, the bully of the block. And when I was banding birds, I would catch a blue jay, and they're total wimps.
Yeah,
they're just kind of like, oh, I give up. And the chickadee, the tiny little friendly, everybody's buddy chickadee,
they're aggressive.
Fight till oh my god, there's no stopping them.
Okay, Roger in Utica writes at Moss Lake near Eagle Bay. I saw a gadwall land in a small patch of reeds and shoreline shallows. Instead of dabbling, he slightly jumped, stretching neck up and forward, not quite clearing water with front of his body, as if snapping at large insects. This occurred for 1 to 2 seconds, rapidly repeated 2 to 4 times over 10 seconds, maybe 6 to 8 times over the 2 to 3 minutes observed before disappearing around the shore's bend. I'd never seen dabbling ducks behave like this. Do they at times eat flying insects this way, Julie Hart? You don't know?
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's that picture that one of the Audubon prints of, I forget which species of duck, and it's doing that very thing. It's reaching up and grabbing a snail, I believe it was a snail, off a leaf, overhanging.
Do they do flying insects, too?
Imagine anything that happens to be dumb enough to get too close.
To get too close. Yeah. Interesting. I haven't seen this. So.
Stuart in Newburg says, the walkway over the Hudson between Poughkeepsie and Highland apparently has nesting pairs of peregrine falcons, but I've yet to see them. Are there specific times of day or locations that are likely to increase my odds of seeing them? Do you know if they're nesting under the walkway? Maybe the paths under the walkway would be a better place to see them. Anyway, your thoughts.
They nest on virtually every bridge on the Hudson River Valley.
Mm-hmm. Underneath, usually.
Underneath,
on a girder beneath. And the time of day, the best time is early in the morning when they first wake up. Everybody's hungry. Right now, they probably got babies in the nest. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be busy bringing pigeons back.
Okay.
And the highway departments love the peregrines because they don't like pigeons, and peregrines are good pigeon maintenance experts.
So when you say maintenance, you mean they kill them?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Control the population.
Control the population. Gene writes, hello. For weeks, a pair of owls raised their two babies across the road from us in the woods. I actually was fortunate to see the two outlets, owlets at one point. So my question is, for weeks, they would be making this whistling type noise for most of the day and into the evening, back and forth to each other. Then this week, all of a sudden, the parents are gone, and so are the babies. Why did they leave?
Oh, they got too old, and they're finding new places to forage. So the screeching sound is the young's begging call.
That's so annoying.
It can be annoying, yeah. But
well,
I guess you're pretty lucky.
Yeah,
I would say you're lucky to have them breeding and have young owls that close to you if you can get annoyed by them. But yeah.
You'd be amazed how easily I can get annoyed.
No, I'm not surprised.
No, really?
they've gone
shut
off
that nature up, will you?
Greener pastures.
Jeffrey writes in, I got to meet Rich Guthrie at the Coxsackie Tops. Enjoyed watching the webcam on the famous eagles in Big Bear Valley in California.
Well, hi there, Jeffrey. Good to see you.
Do you have any recollection of that?
Absolutely. One of my best pals out there.
Okay.
Cliffs. Were you watching the cliff swallows? Well,
I don't remember.
So you're just making it up.
I did.
All right. That's fine. Rich, another Rich writes in, upside down suet feeder to deter starlings?
Yes.
It does help. Yes, that does help.
And
too.
Woodpeckers don't mind it at all.
Right.
Okay. All right. Why specifically does that work?
Because the starlings are perching birds, and they can't hang upside down with the way their feet are structured. But I would suspect, I actually haven't tried it yet. I need to try one of these upside down feeders.
Okay.
But I'm sure they will eventually get clever enough and be able to like reach around somehow and get like at the edges.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't be able to eat the middle.
Oh, no, they'll hang upside down.
The starlings?
Yeah. Oh, no, not the starlings.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
All right, Rick writes in, I give very high praise to the Merlin app. I was going to suggest it, but thought Ray would scold me for promoting a brand name.
Nope, it's not a brand name. It's free. It's something put out by Cornell University. Brilliant students out there.
Yeah, Jim in Glendale writes, about a month ago, my wife and I discovered a white heron that had its wing caught in a fishing line that was left dangling from a tree branch on the river. Unfortunately, the heron had perished long before we found it. Can you please remind listeners to remove any fishing line left on branches?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's so deadly. It's deadly.
And it's so sad because, you know, the birds have no way of coping with it. They just, it's something that is not built into their DNA to be aware of.
And there's a lot of species that get tangled up in it. So don't leave any, like, on the shore or anything either. Like, just take... Whenever I go somewhere and it's a place where people go fishing, I'm always picking up clumps of fishing line because I want to prevent that from happening.
And if there's a fish with a hook, don't cut the line. Bring the fish in because the fish will swim away, maybe float up. A bird like an eagle or an osprey or a heron might pick it up, and that trailing line sooner or later is dragging behind, waiting for a snag.
And I'll just add, while we're talking about fishing, it's better to use the non-lead fishing gear.
Yes.
Can you even buy lead fishing gear anymore?
I don't think so.
I think so, but people may still have some stashed in their tackle kits.
This email from Mary in Chicago. Is it safe to have windy feeders in the city, window feeders? See, I got thinking about the windy city.
I was thinking windy too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it safe to have... Don't worry, I can't read, but well, it's almost vacation time, and I'll figure it out again. Is it safe to have window feeders in the city in these days of the avian flu?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have window feeder in our city apartment. It attracts mostly purple finches, enjoyable, and doves, pesty fatties, says Mary, about the doves. Okay, well, that was a little harsh. When I replace the food, I usually wash the tray in hot soapy water, and after feeding, I wash my hands with disinfectant. Is that safe?
Yeah? Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. The thing about it is avian flu, and this is still the thought out there, is that it is not affecting the songbird population, so backyard feeders and the like are okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, there's a long email here from Fran and Gallatin, who is a regular correspondent on this show. But we got to go back to the phones. This is about squirrels, you know, basically to summarize a 9-page email here. Fran put seed, she stopped putting seed in the feeder. It's about 10 feet from the kitchen window because the squirrels started taking over. And, you know, what do you do? What do you do?
You stop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a squirrel problem at my feeders because we have a a shepherd's hook out in the middle of the lawn, and it's too far for any squirrel to jump to. And then there's a baffle on the pole,
so you have it worked
so they
out.
Can't get up. Yeah, so we don't. I mean, we have squirrels on the ground getting any seed that falls on the ground, but we don't have them at the feeders.
If you electrify the pole. But ground the actual bird feeder on the top.
What about that, it?
You know, not enough to kill the squirrel.
Yeah, just to shock them. Yeah.
I know somebody who did that, and he had an on-off switch at his window.
Did it work?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they learn fast. And again, it's just a small dose.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, let's go back to the phones now.
It's a little dangerous.
Leave that one alone. Dave and Ghent, you're on. Dave.
Just a comment. My barn and workshop become an aviary for barn swallows every summer. Mm. And, of course, I have to cover my tools and cover things because they poop a lot.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's so entertaining. They fly like butterflies or bats, and they cackle at each other. And I sit in the corner of the barn with a beer and just watch. Better than TV.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is so great. I love that story.
And you're doing a great service because our swallow numbers have plummeted. And you're harboring the future of swallows right there in your barn. So keep it up, man. You're doing a good job.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank
I got to tell you, this email from Fran is just hilarious. But it's too long, and it's about trapping groundhogs and things. But it's great stuff. The bottom of it, though, says, when I lived in Queens, there was a mockingbird in the old development that imitated car alarms.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Yes, yes.
Now, will they imitate humans a little bit? Will they try?
I tried doing that with mockingbirds that were regular at where I was working at NCON back in the day. And he was nesting in a tree in the parking area. And I went by there. Every time I went by, I whistled. I forget which tune I was trying to implant. It did not work.
Really?
No.
I picked maybe the wrong artist, the wrong record, the wrong album. I don't know.
You know, during the fun drive, we had a couple different calls from people. One person said, you know, every time Ray speaks, my dog runs around in a circle and howls.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, I don't know. And then another one, maybe the same guy later in the drive, said, every time Ray sings, my dog starts howling. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
You sing?
During the fun drive, you do what you got to do. And frankly, you disassemble after about 3 days, and who knows what you say. Let's go to Kurt in Copaic Lake. You're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love Ray's voice. I don't know what these callers are saying. So I screwed up, and I, joking around with my six-year-old, told him that bird was saying his name. His name is Timothy. So this bird goes, Timothy, Timothy, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what bird it is, but now my four-year-old, Andrew, is so mad every time he hears the quote-unquote Timothy bird.
Oh, no.
So first question is, do you know what bird it might be that's going, Timothy, Timothy, Timothy?
Yeah, that would most likely the Carolina Wren.
Carolina
Wren.
Yeah.
Okay.
okay.
We usually
again,
say
by the way, I'm
tea
on
kettle.
Team Wren, not team catbird.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Is there any bird I can try to find a call of that would sound like Andy or Andrew? Because he's so mad when he hears the Timothy bird.
Oh, Guthrie's really searching his memory banks.
Let me just say, for the Carolina Wren, what birders often give as a mnemonic is tea kettle, tea kettle, tea,
tea kettle.
Kettle.
Tea kettle.
Timothy works.
Yes.
Okay. But in case you wanted
you guys, he loves it so much. He'll be like, Dad, I heard it.
Oh, okay. Okay, Andrew.
So what about Andrew?
Well, the Tufted Titmouse, if you take a two-note, and you can translate it into Andy.
Oh, instead of Peter.
That's a stretch,
Andrew,
man, right?
No, it isn't. No, come on, Ray.
We usually say Peter
Ray,
for it.
He's only four. I can handle this.
Okay, fair enough. Why don't you make some bird sounds then, Kurt? Just turn your head. Sir.
I got it. Thank you so much, guys.
There you go.
Right,
okay,
man,
go
for the call. Let's go quickly to Beverly in Castleton on Hudson. Hello, Beverly, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to ask a question about my hummingbirds. I put my feeder out a while ago, plus plants that attract hummingbirds like salvia. And every day I've had at least a male from morning until night and possibly a female. Today there is nothing. And I'm wondering if they're busy feeding their young.
Probably. Have you replaced the nectar recently, too? Is it fresh?
Absolutely.
Okay,
every 3 days.
Well, I'm going to say a lot of flowers are now blooming, and you know, no slight on you, but they prefer the flowers. So
they prefer the real
thing.
But
they're on my deck, and they've been coming to the flowers also. So I'm just wondering if something is going on that I don't know about.
They should have babies right now, and I'm sure that they're just provisioning the young, feeding the young.
And how would they? Okay, so here's a question, Beverly. Thanks for the call. Mommy or daddy hummingbird takes the stuff out of the feeder, the liquid, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How then, you know, I can see if a bird eats a worm and then feeds the babies. How are you going to do it with liquid?
They throw up.
All right. I withdraw the question.
She's using the good word.
Regurgitate.
Yeah, they store
it. There's a number of species that do that.
Yes, the herons will. Oh, my God. It gets even worse because they'll. And the vultures.
Vultures, yeah.
Yeah, they'll swallow bad smelling dead stuff and then.
Birds really are disgusting.
Well, you know, it's all a matter of taste.
It's nutrients, right? It's nutrients. It's energy.
Take what you can get.
I asked that question. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, the bee bombs in our house have yet to bloom, but we're waiting. It's coming anytime now.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right. I guess we're done. Rich Guthrie, if people want to pester you, how do they do that?
No pestering. Come on. But you can find me at richardpguthrie@gmail.com. My name with a middle initial P.
How do you spell the Guthrie again? Because other people spell it differently.
Guthrie. And, Guthrie.
Julie Hart, I don't know if you're taking any emails these days, but if people want to get in touch with you, can they do it, or would you prefer to remain anonymous?
Yeah, no, they can email me as well. I have a number of different emails, but you can use the DEC one, which is julie.hart@dec.ny.gov.
Do you have different aliases, like Carlos Danger or anything?
No.
No?
But I have like an ESF email, Gmail.
Gotcha. So what is that email again?
julie.hart@dec.ny.gov.
All right, listen, you two.
And that's Hart, H-A-R-T?
H-A-R-T, yes.
Okay. We've sorted that out. Now, everybody, we're done, and thank you for calling. We'll do it again next month. Support comes from Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, helping gardeners grow flowering shrubs, hydrangea, ninebark, Rose of Sharon, and sweet pepper bush, wardsnursery.com. Ambrose Electric Standby Power, an electrical contractor providing sales service and installation of residential and commercial Generac automatic standby generators, serving the Greater Capital District for over 40 years. AmbroseLEC.com. UNT Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. AGStewardship.org. It's AGStewardship.org. Hoo-wee, boy, I need a break, and it's coming soon, folks. Thanks to Rich and Julie for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy. What a great guy. most of the time. Thanks to Ed Rosen, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's the Copyright Forum. We'll see you, too.